Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in our next segment, I have a little squabble with Toby that we're going to address. But for right now, we're going to talk to our friend, Mr. Peter Rosenberg, coming in from New York. Got his own new show starting up after the holidays here. Fired up for that. Peter, what up, man? How are you, buddy?
Thank you for that kind, warm welcome. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa all. Who is this Toby character that I'm talking to today?
B. Mitch has his grandkids in town, so he took a couple days off, well-deserved. And so Toby is with me. Toby's a good guy. But you know what? You're a radio guy, so I'm going to spill the tea right now. So Toby does updates for us, and he's sitting in doing the show with me today, but he never gives me a heads up. He's about to start the update, and I'm just kind of chatting, doing my thing, thinking we're in break, and Toby just busts in like, oh, from the 5-star sports desk or whatever he does. Give me a heads up, Toby.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay.
My bad.
All right.
My bad.
Toby, how old are you, Toby?
I am 26.
Oh, you're a fresh-faced youngster in the game. Yeah, Toby, you got to give a little 3 seconds. Coming down in three, you got to give us a little few seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? I've learned from my mistake. I'll do it from now on.
Peter, do you have any advice for young Toby here that's deciding upon a career in radio?
Oh, you've chosen an industry that is flourishing. it's never been a better time in our business than right now. So your decision making obviously is awesome.
We're like the Harbaughs. Listen, who's got it better than us?
Darn right. Darn right.
Listen, radio's not as bad as they say. There is still some worth in this biz. You just got to – listen, if you could learn anything from both JP and myself, and B. Mitch too, you just got to have multiple different things going at all times. Like JP always calls me the busiest man. He's not doing lots of things. You know what I mean? Like, stay busy.
It's true.
All right, so our friend Peter Rosenberg launching his own new Drive Time show, ESPN New York, Hot 97, does a million things, about to have his first baby. So much excitement in your life, and yet, Peter, I am curious where Sunday's comeback against the Eagles ranked for you as far as best moments of the year.
So it was a terrific day. We had a great time. I'm sure you saw my reaction on my Instagram page at
awesome.
Rosenberg Radio. My wife has gotten very good at like subtly just having. I mean, she is a photographer, so she's very good at just pulling out a camera and shooting me at these moments. It was great. Like, I'm not going to put it next to the Bears game, because of the fact. A, obviously hurts being gone. Like, I'm sorry, guys. That game gets an asterisk. Like, I take the win. It's great. You cannot tell me. Maybe one of you will disagree. Could a true Commanders fan really be walking around with their chest out just as much had Hurts played the entire game?
Yeah, you're not wrong with that, but I'm not looking back and, like, reminding myself of it, if that makes sense.
I feel you. I'm just saying my level – okay, so it's twofold. One, no Hurts. Two, how stupid that game was. I mean, It just should have been won already several times. Like, the mistakes were just so killer. And honestly, I'm not even talking about the last killer, which was Jaden's pick, because you know what? Every quarterback is entitled to let one sail every couple games. It happens. Right. It's the other ones that were just inexcusable. Like, Jaden has every right to have a slip-up in a 5-touchdown outing, and he did. The problem was we gave him no other opportunities. There were just so many mistakes made. So I'm not trying to be that guy. I loved it. I screamed and was happy. It makes these next 2 weeks a lot easier. You know, we should be able to wrap this thing up quickly. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, we can still get in with no more wins, right?
Correct.
There is a path.
If the Bucks lose, right?
If the Bucks, it's either the Rams and the Bucks or the Rams and the Falcons. But if other teams lose, they'll be in. But whatever. I'm not even win Sunday night. Yeah. Sunday night is the priority.
Simplest way.
How do you feel about this team going into Sunday Night Football? The Falcons coming to town, who I get that they just beat up on the Giants pretty good, but the Giants have completely quit playing football. This is a different test altogether for Michael Penix to make his first road start.
Yeah, totally different situation. I'd love to finish up this weekend, obviously. But no, man, I had a ball. I was thrilled. And getting to see Jaden have another great game like that, man, he is just such a killer. Like, I think about the quarterbacks who I've hated facing in my time as a fan. And I think it's really hard to say. It's actually a fun conversation, not to produce your guys' show, but hey, it's a fun conversation.
Well, don't worry. The people last segment were trying to do that. So,
all right, good. Well, I should have some. Hopefully I have some more credibility than whoever that was. But
just callers.
So, fun conversation. Who are the quarterbacks you most dreaded playing? And, like, in his prime, I don't know if I dreaded dealing with anyone more than Russell Wilson in Seattle. Mm. And, like, JP, you remember, every game we'd be playing them, you're fighting to stay alive, and it's 3rd and 13, and you think the drive is over, and he sneaks up the middle, and he's gone for 40, and you're like, how did that happen? I don't know if there's anyone in that regard who is more annoying to play against than our guy. Like, he is absolutely brutal. Totally. It can literally be 4th and 15, and you have to be scared when Jaden Daniels drops back. That is an incredible place to be as a fan.
Dude, we were talking about this. We did a little bit on the radio Monday, and Mitch and Tischler and I did this on the podcast on Beltway Football. In the NFC, now I'm saying NFC specifically because AFC, Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, I do still have it in a different category. But in the NFC, is there any player more dangerous with the ball in his hands at this point?
Don't know that there is.
So the conversation would be Saquon.
Yeah, but the ball's got to get to him. You know what I mean?
Like the ball has to get to him. And then if you go to quarterback, I mean, I guess Stafford, I mean,
Goff, Jaden's Goff's right? been fantastic. I mean,
yeah, Goff's been really good.
There was a time to be Hurts.
Hurts as well. By the way, Hurts is still high, man. Like, let's be real, guys. If Hurts plays, I did not like to start that game. I do not think that's a good day for us if Hurts continues playing.
Right. I'm not saying definitively it's Jaden, but he's damn sure he's in the conversation.
Yeah, he's in the conversation at least.
Oh, he's 100%. 100% in the conversation, and I think it's totally reasonable to say it's him. Totally
I'm curious, coming off the game on Sunday, the most likely scenario right now would be that Philly finishes as a 2, Washington finishes as the 7. If that's the case, obviously Washington goes to Philly for a playoff game. How do you feel about that?
Yay. Off to Philly we go. It's not great. It's not great. And I don't think, you know, you can – listen, there are certainly positive things you can take away from this last game, particularly offensively, right? Like, Jalen Hurts wasn't playing defense for that team, and we shredded them most of that game. So you can certainly feel, obviously, you know, Kingsbury took responsibility for how bad he was in the first Philly game, clearly made adjustments in the second Philly game. There's no reason to think we won't be able to put up numbers. It's just a matter of, can we get stops? And by the way, what's up with Lattimore? How's he feeling?
Well, it's not great. We should know more today, but that hammy popped back up on him. That's honestly probably a big part of the reason New Orleans was willing to move him at this stage of his career, was that the hammy trouble. He's had trouble staying on the field.
My God, it's such a crazy thing to, like, have the trouble but still be so effective when you're on the field. Like,
he changes. Dude, I did want to ask you one other thing, non-Commanders related, because just I saw you on Twitter, and you guys can follow Peter at Rosenberg Radio, Twitter and Instagram. You really, really enjoyed Beyonce's halftime performance. I saw Governor Wes Moore tweeted out, Beyonce had the best performance by a Texan. Because she's from Houston and she was the best. But, dude, this tweet stood out to me. You said, not Michael, not Prince, not anyone has ever done a live TV stadium performance like Beyonce just did. Every aspect was off the charts. What did Beyonce do that you think outperformed? I think Prince is the best Super Bowl halftime ever.
So the Prince halftime performance is great, right? He ends up playing Purple Rain in the rain.
In the rain,
it's all there.
Yeah,
it's you can't, you know, listen, God loves Prince. I get it. It was awesome. But if you go back and watch it, it's a really good stage performance, you know. Beyonce, the way that whole thing was put together, the amount of movement and the, like, first of all, from a singing standpoint, she was flawless, right? Like, she didn't have a bad moment singing. From a dancing standpoint, obviously, right, like, Prince is a musician. He plays guitar on stage. She dances on stage. I personally think, for my entertainment value, I'm not like some guitar enthusiast. I'm probably more entertained by sick choreography and dancing than I am by shredding on a guitar. But to me, it was just the overall way the whole thing moved. Like, I don't know if they pre-recorded the beginning or not. My guess is they did. But the way they started in the bowel of the stadium, and then she walks out, to the pop you get when Shaboozy turns around and then Post Malone's up on the truck. We've seen so many of these halftime performances. Did any sort of move that well and feel that cool? And then I guess I'm a music nerd, so as someone who's a huge fan of this album, I love that her performance was literally just, I'm giving you this album. I'm not playing a Christmas song. I'm not playing Crazy in Love. We're in Houston, where I'm from. I did an album that's based in my Texas roots. I'm giving you all of that right now. I just thought it was so cool. And also, what stars of this magnitude use their platform when they have the biggest stage ever to expose you to unknown artists? Which is, I mean, the girls who she has on Blackbird aren't unknown. They're becoming more known because they have a song with Beyonce. But what a cool and unique thing to do that you just don't see.
I agree with all that. I think Dre and Snoop was the best because it was in L.A. and it was so L.A. authentic. That's probably my favorite.
But if you were to go back, if you go back and watch that performance tonight and watch what they do on stage vocally and how they move, and then watch Beyonce, you're going to be like, they're really good, but these are two different things. Like, Beyonce is doing a different thing. That's why Beyonce ends up in the Prince MJ conversation, respectfully, not in the Snoop Dre conversation. Because as much as I'm a hip-hop dude through and through, when it comes to live performances, guys, there's levels. And if you're able to sing and dance or sing flawlessly while riding a horse, like, there's just different levels. And as much as I love seeing Dre and Snoop, I just don't think they could do what Beyonce can do. It was a super cool moment. And by the way, could it have worked out better? She won the day. The football all day was awful.
Like, awful.
So true.
By halfway through the Kansas City game, you're like, can this end? Can we get to Beyonce?
Be honest. The outfit doesn't hurt either.
Oh, jeez. I mean, listen. I'm going to tell you a real, I'm going to give you a quick gem. And by the way, for anyone out there who's randomly listening and is very curious about the Beyonce album and the fact that it's a country album, I actually have a podcast about it called This Ain't Texas, where I nerd out about it once every couple of weeks. I interview people who are on the album and experts in that music. So if you're curious, go listen. But I was at I love this story. I went to BET when I was like 20 years old. You remember the good man Ademu from WPGC?
Mm-hmm.
He used to do Afternoon Drive. Ademu was the host of Teen Summit, and he let me come with him when I was interning at WPGC to Teen Summit on BET in 99, whatever it was. At the time, Destiny's Child had a song called Bills, Bills, Bills was out. You remember that, Diddy, JP?
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? That song?
Exactly. So they're becoming popular, but they're just, you know, they're a group that's on the move. You don't know anyone's names in the group. They're just a group. I got into an elevator at BET as a 21-year-old terp, and Destiny's Child was on that elevator before I ever knew what a Beyonce was, except one of the people standing in front of me. And I looked at my friend Tyler Mann, BCC alum, who was with me.
Sure.
And we immediately, when they got out of the elevator, I said, that is the most beautiful human being I have ever seen in my life. And this is with no knowledge that she would become a global superstar. It was just a human being. You know what I mean? So to your point about how she looked last night, now in her early 40s, like 43 years old, she's doing okay in that regard as well.
She sure is. Hey, man, thank you. We'll talk next week. Are you traveling at all?
You know what? I think this went really well, Toby. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was fun asking you one question. It was good.
Later, guys.
Dude, thank you. That's my guy, Peter Rosenberg, at Rosenberg Radio. Imagine seeing Beyonce in an elevator. Imagine being that close to Beyonce. That'd be something. We got to make some bets when we come back. It's P. Mitchell Finley and Toby.